May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me, make me, Saviour, make me feel, all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990. Reading from God's holy word is from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 3. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 3. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger for ever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labour of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. O Lord, do help us now as we gather on thy holy day to worship thee, that thy precious name, dear Lord, may be honoured and glorified, and that each of our souls may be profited, and that thy word may have free course and be glorified. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt be the master of assemblies, and that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, nor that the world may be shut out and the things of time, that we may be favoured with a glimpse by faith of Jesus only. O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls that we may hear thy voice. Oh, we would pray as Samuel of old did, speak, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, may we have that true hearing ear to hear what thou dost speak, and that we may be given grace to obey thy word and thy commandments. O Lord, we venture to the throne of thy grace, pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, may that be our favoured lot, Lord. We come as a poor, vile, worthless sinner to thy feet. Oh, we do seek for a heart, Lord, to truly confess our many, many sins. Thou knowest how often we have to plead with the psalmist, remember not against me the sins of my youth. And O Lord, how fresh contracted guilt plagues our hearts. Oh, that thou wouldst grant to us that God-given repentance, that true godly sorrow thou dost give to thy dear children. We may be real mourners over our sin and after thee. Oh, we do come pleading as the publican did for mercy. And as the dear poet said, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. O Lord, how we need thy precious blood to be applied to us, that we may know that sweet peace of Calvary. As the dear poet said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Oh, we would seek for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, may we be as nothing, Lord. The precious Jesus, the all and in all, and the one thing that is needful. Oh, do give us, Lord, that faith to believe. No, it's the unbelief we are plagued with so often. That unbelief that is so sure to err and scan God's work in vain. But oh, we do beg, dear Lord, for more and more faith to be given. And we pray that thou wilt help us this day to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thou knowest how each one has gathered, Lord. And oh, we pray thou wilt suit thyself to every sinner's case. May none be empty sent away. Do remember those that may need thee in some special way. We pray thou wilt come and supply their need. Those that have mountains before them, oh, may those mountains flow down at thy presence. Those that have heavy burdens, Lord, who help them to cast them all upon thee and to leave them at thy dear feet. And oh, that thou wouldst whisper those precious words to their souls. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Remember those, Lord, that feel tried and tempted and troubled. Oh, do cast Satan out, Lord, and appear for thy tempted followers. Help them to watch and to pray. May Satan be put down, Lord, thy people liberated. And remember those in affliction's pathway, those that have their afflictions with us and those unable to be here, and all thy afflicted people. We pray for that needed healing and restoring if it's thy will. And oh, that thou wouldst strengthen each one, both in their souls and to in body. Lord, how we need thee to strengthen us this day and to anoint us with that heavenly oil. We would praise thee for sparing the brittle threads of our life to once more gather. And we trust, Lord, it is not in vain. But oh, we would seek to have a heart to praise thee for all thy great mercies. The mercies of providence, the mercies of grace. The crown thee, Lord of all. And oh Lord, to remember all that are bereaved and sorrowful. We pray for that heavenly comfort. Lord, do come and visit the dear children while in their early days, the dear little ones, each of the young ones. We would lovingly commit them each to thee, that thou wilt work in them, that thou wilt bless the word taught them in the Sabbath school. May it find an abiding place in their hearts. May there be found in them some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. And do keep them each, Lord, and bless them with thy fear and thy grace. And may the Lord be their God and ours, Lord. And oh, we pray they would hear the prayers of dear parents for them. And do bless the dear little babe in the hospital. We pray that he may be strengthened each day and restored and brought back to his dear parents at the appointed time. We thank thee for safe deliverance and for thy mercies, Lord. And oh, may these things all be sanctified. And dear Lord, we would pray for the dear young people. Thou wilt keep them in these evil days and bless them with the riches of thy grace. And may the prayers that are put up for them be heard and answered. And do guide them and direct them and supply their need both in providence and in their souls. And may they see thy hand going before them. Help them, Lord, to commit their way to thee. And do remember, Lord, all that need thee, whatever be their state or case, do undertake, we pray. And do help the deacons, Lord, in all the burden and weight and responsibilities they have. And do bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Do increase the church, if it would please thee, with godly souls. May there yet be again a moving of the waters, both here and in our own flock. For we do rejoice, dear Lord, when Zion's offspring come, as sheep are gathered to the fold and left no more to roam. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bless our own flock today. And may thy dear servant with them be granted gracious liberty, and help from heaven, the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, may there be that real fruit to follow. For thou alone hast said, but God giveth the increase. And Lord, how we need thee to increase our faith, our hope, our love. Oh, increase Zion, Lord, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Remember Zion and all thy servants. And may it be a good day throughout Zion today, one of the days of the Son of Man upon the earth. You help us to pray for our guilty nation, that thou wilt yet appear, and put thy grace and fear in our leaders and rulers. Bring them, Lord, to seek thee in all the affairs of this land. And oh, do preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution. Deliver us from the evil and violent men, and all those that would take our privileges away from us. Especially remember those that are persecuted, those that are displaced through war and trouble, Lord. We beg for thy appearing, and oh, that thou wouldst yet send peace in all those war-torn lands. Deliver us from all the powers of Satan and his many agents, and help us, Lord, to continually lean upon thee, and bless our Queen and the royal household, and may they each be recipients of thy grace and fear, and set a right example in the land. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Thou anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. Help the dear friends to hear for eternity, and hear to profit. We pray for strength and help for this hour, for without thee we can do nothing. Do make up in giving where we fail in our asking, and oh, do come and visit us with thy salvation, and blot out all that we've uttered amiss, and all our many sins. We would ask it in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 686. Jesus, cast a look on me, give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. Hymn 686.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2. The prophecy of Hosea, chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The prophecy of Hosea, chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The dear prophet Hosea was enabled wonderfully to prophesy in a similar period to Isaiah. And in many ways, this prophecy is very typical of the prophecy of Isaiah. They both spoke so well of the Lord Jesus' coming, his glorious life and death and resurrection. But this word seems to have been laid upon me much in the last week, really, what we have named as a text. Come and let us return unto the Lord. If you read through the prophecy carefully, you will find that Israel and Judah had wandered from the Lord in so many ways. And really, you know, if we know our own hearts, we are no better, are we? How often we wander from him. And that is why we read in Jeremiah, and you can read right through the prophecy of Jeremiah, how many times both Israel and Judah wandered from the Lord. They backslid in so many ways. And when we think of wandering from the Lord, that doesn't mean to say they just wandered in their steps. They wandered in their heart, and in their minds, and in their actions. It was not just in one way. And when we think of it spiritually, how many times we wander, don't we, from the Lord? You may arise in the morning and you think, well, I'll try and meditate upon the Lord. I will try and live close to him. But what happens? Within half an hour or even less, we're wandering, aren't we? We're poor sinners. But the wonderful mercy was here, in this beautiful word. The Lord had put in their hearts a desire to return to him. And this word could be looked at in the first clause. It seems to be with me in two ways. First of all, as a commandment from the Lord. And we read in the lesson, didn't we, in Jeremiah, how he commanded them to return to the Lord their God. They had forgotten him in so many ways. We read, don't we, ye have forgotten me, even this whole nation. And how many times he bid them to return. What did we read? Return, O backsliding daughter, for I am married unto you. Why did he bid her to return? And why does he bid his dear children in 2015 to return unto him? Well, we have it much in Jeremiah. It was because he loved them. That's why. We have it in this prophecy. He wonderfully said, didn't he? I will allure her. I will draw her away from all her lovers and will draw her to himself. The old preachers used to say, the Lord will have all the sinner's heart or none of it. You know, it's very searching and very solemn, isn't it? Oh, that we might be enabled to serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our very being. So think of it first of all in a sweet command. But what is in our text is not just the commandment of the Lord for his dear people to return from being wanderers and backsliders from him, but to turn them to himself. But what's in the text is this: come, let us return unto the Lord. This was the language of those penitent souls in Hosea's day. The Lord had so worked in them and brought them to see where they really stood. Far off from the Lord, wandering from him, departing from his ways. And he puts in their heart this beautiful desire, come, let us return unto the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it would be, wouldn't it, in this dark day in which we live, if there were many returning prodigals. Let us return. Now look in your heart and mine this morning, as we venture into this, is that your desire? Some of you may have been favoured much in days past with sweet communion, like we've been singing the hymn, nearness to Christ, living at his dear feet. But what happens? Satan creeps in, unbelief creeps in, our old carnal nature creeps in. And what does it do? It draws us away from the Lord. And here they've been drawn away, and you can read it very closely at your leisure, to other lovers. They had been drawn to false gods, to idols. They departed from the Lord. But you see, because he loved them, he put this desire in their heart, come, let us return unto the Lord, that we might be near his dear feet, humble, tender, having the mind and the spirit of Christ. It's a wonderful place, and I think I preached from it when we were here last. If we have the desire the spouse had in the Song of Solomon, draw me, and we will run after them. And what was it when he said, I will allure her? It means this in its simplicity. I will draw her. And he'll draw his dear people away from the world. He'll draw them away from self, away from all natural religion, and he'll draw them to his feet. Come, let us return. Let's just briefly look at each word of this, really. First, that word come. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? The old preachers used to say it's the gospel word for sinners, come. We read last Lord's Day at home, that last chapter in the Revelation, and what does it say? The Spirit and the Bride say come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him whosoever will come. It's a gospel invitation to poor needy sinners. Jesus said, didn't he? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And because his love was toward these dear people in Hosea's day, he was to bring them to come to him. They couldn't go anywhere else. What are we seeing? Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. Come. The Spirit says, come. And you see, really, the Holy Spirit was working here in Hosea's day. He saw them, that's where they were. You know, there's not a place you'll come into for what the Lord sees you. Many have tried over the years, you know, to hide themselves from the Lord. But his all-seeing eye sees his dear children where they are, and he sees the wicked in all their sin. This desire was not found in those that knew not the Lord. Come, let us return. So the Spirit, he whispers this, come. Whosoever will. He reaches right out to the blackest, vilest of sinners. He was to draw them away from all that sin and draw them to his feet. But then the bride says, come. That is his church. His dear people. You know, those of us, I trust, that fear the Lord, that love his blessed name, that know sweet in some sweet measure, sweet communion with him. We do we not, when the Lord blesses us, desire that there may be others come to know the same blessings. The bride says, come. You think of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. There's no doubt there was much exercise in the dear man's heart. Every step of that journey. But you think, the exercise there was, how would Laban and Bethuel receive him? They didn't cast him away, did they? Oh, what did they say to him? Come in. Beautiful invitation, wasn't it? Thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Come. Now, I hadn't thought of taking this line, but you see, it's a beautiful word to sinners, isn't it? Come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And there may be those of you here this morning that are burdened and heavy laden. You may have come up, Lord, what shall we do in it all? Well, the first word of the text is not my word. It wasn't Hosea's. It was the desire, it is true, of God's dear children in Hosea's day. But it's the Lord's word. He put it in their hearts. And may the Lord whisper that to some poor, tempted, tried, burdened, sin-sick soul this morning. Come. How? Just as you are. I love that sweet couplet of the hymn, "You can't come too filthy, come just as you are." He will not send them empty back, nor fright them from the door. You see, these in Hosea's day were coming sinners, coming out of sin, coming out of the world, coming out of all their false gods, coming out of all trusting in self, and coming to the feet of Jesus with all their concerns, with all their burden, with all their load, just as they were. Why did they come to him? Because all their salvation was in him. "If ever my poor soul be saved," the hymn writer said, "'tis Christ must be the way. There's no other way, and there never will be, to heaven." So he says, "Come, let us return." That's a beautiful word, that "let," isn't it? Let us return. What did Paul say to the church in Philippi? He speaks of this beautifully. He says, "Let this mind be in you." And what does it mean in its simplicity? It means don't do anything to hinder it. And here he says, "Come," the Holy Spirit does, "let us return." Oh, that the Lord would remove everything that hinders. And may we never. It's a great burden and exercise to me that I may never be a hindrance to the Lord's dear children. It's a solemn thing if we are a hindrance to them, isn't it? Come, let us return. And there's this willingness, you see, in these dear souls to return to the Lord. The Lord had made them willing. They hadn't made themselves willing, or no man had, but the Lord had. And they were to be made willing to forsake all their sin, all their backslidings, all their wanderings, and return to the Lord. You see, this word "return" meant that they'd been there before. You can't return unless you've been there before. They'd been near his feet. They'd had sweet tokens of his love. He'd visited their troubled breast. But oh, left to self, left to themselves, left to the onslaughts of sin and of Satan, they wandered. Oh, how we need, and I must just tarry a moment here, how we need to be kept every moment. We cannot keep ourselves, can we? You see, the Lord only had to leave them for a moment, and there they were going after other lovers, forgetting the Lord, grieving him. And you see, when we grieve him, we should know what it is to come to the place where we will have to grieve, that we have grieved him. So he says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." Well, much further could be said upon this clause and this first part of the text, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it to our souls. And then he says, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. This is I must be honest about this, or I ever seek to be honest, but, you know, 3 weeks ago today, I lay in Bournemouth Hospital, in a sense, fighting for my life. I say that rightly. And on that Lord's Day morning, you know, I was so troubled while I was laying there and so burdened. And what was the Lord's mind and will in it all? And I opened the Word of God, and as I opened it, I said, Lord, drop a word to settle me. And I opened on this text. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And then this beautiful second verse, after 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. As soon as the Lord spoke that, I knew I'd come through. Because in this word was everything, and everything my soul needed. Well, let us just help look a little into it. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. You will notice what the bride of Christ here, his church, said. He hath torn, and he will heal us. Her God had torn her, but he was to heal her. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. The same God that had smitten, he would raise up. And he would bind up. Well, for he hath torn. You know, when the Lord, and he will use many things to tear his people. Sometimes, and I thought of it so, in the vestry it came to me so powerfully, thinking on this word, he hath torn. And maybe those of you experiencing that today, he hath torn you. You look in your heart and see how he's torn you. You're torn by sin, you're torn by Satan, you're torn by unbelief. But what I was thinking of was this. I thought of the dear lad in Mark chapter 9 that the father brought to the Lord Jesus. And we read concerning him, you see, Satan was trying to destroy that dear lad. And we read, and Satan tear him. He was trying to destroy the dear lad. But you see, as Satan had torn him, so the Lord was going to heal him, wasn't he? And I thought as I lay there in that affliction, you see, 3 weeks ago, it rarely tore my body from limb to limb in those few hours. The poison in the blood was tremendous. I was just torn. In a sense, ripped to pieces by it all. And I verily felt I'd never come out. He hath torn, and I could see in it in a moment just how that dear lad was when Satan was tearing him, trying to destroy him. And you see, the affliction will tear us. Some of you have had it far, maybe greater than I have. And it's torn you. And I know even today I'm not the same as I was 3 weeks ago. I have the strength. But you see, when the Lord tears, there's no getting out of it. He hath torn. And as I lay there, I thought upon this, he hath torn. And you see, it brings the sinner ever so low when the Lord, and he did hear. Why have they got to come so low? That only he could heal them. And some of you here can testify to this, how he has torn. It may be in things of providence, it may be in affliction, it may be with the onslaughts of Satan. He hath torn. And then his word, you see, he can use his word to tear us and to, as we read here, he has smitten. But I'll come to that in a moment. You see, the Lord's not bound to what he uses to bring his dear children. They had to come low enough, you see, here for the Lord Jesus. Oh, they did. And look at that dear lad, in how Satan tried to destroy him in every way. In Mark chapter 9, and he brings the dear lad to the Saviour. The disciples couldn't cast the devils out, and yet they got power to. And as soon as the dear father brought the lad to the Lord Jesus, immediately Satan tears him again, puts him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. It was only the Lord that could heal him. And look in your heart, you may be torn by sin, bitter temptations of the adversary, and they're so real, aren't they? And really, you see, our flesh doesn't like being torn, does it? You know, I remember some years ago, in my little way I had as a child, you know, I tore my leg, and it wasn't just a cut, it was a tear. And I know the doctor said at the time, you know, it can be far worse than just a straight cut. Wrenching of the flesh, you see. And think about it, there are those things, that troubles we come into, that really tear us to the core, and the troubles in Zion. And you think, really, those of us that exercise, we trust aright concerning the nation, the sins and the wickedness, it really tears to the heart of the child of God what will come. He hath torn. And dear David, if you look through his life, you think of the times he was torn by his enemies, and they would have pulled him to pieces if they could. But you see, the Lord permitted it. He caused it to come. You think of dear Job, how the dear man was torn by the loss of his family, by the loss of his livelihood. Now, who was it? Don't let us just tarry upon that grieving side, but there's the other side to it. If the Lord has torn you, poor soul, in any way, You'll long for him to heal you.
Oh, you will.
The same God that the Church of God speaks of here, Israel and Judah, they'd been torn apart by Satan and by many troubles they come into. But the Lord was to bring them back together. You read several occasions in the Word of God, particularly in Jeremiah, how they were to be brought together. And I understand that, if I understand the scriptures aright, the day will come at the last day when Israel and Judah will be drawn together and healed and brought to the Lord, before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. So he said, he hath torn. There was no doubt about this. And I felt when I lay there in the hospital, he hath torn. I was in it. But what does faith do? And it's so manifested in this text. For he hath torn. And he will heal us. He will heal us. Oh, how real that was to me. I couldn't put into words how sweet it was. He will heal us. And faith lays hold of this, you see. You think of where the dear man, when he brought his son to the Lord Jesus. Why did he bring him? Faith in him, believe the Lord would heal him. Why do you bring your troubles, your burdens, your cares, your great sins that trouble you to him? You come to him because you believe he'll heal you. He'll appear for you. When we're torn by sin, oh, the heart wrenched by sin, troubled by sin, burdened by sin. The poor lame sinner, burdened by sin, has to come to the dear Redeemer. Why? Because he will heal us. And you look how he healed that dear man and cast the lad and cast the devils out of him. He will heal us. Look at the certainty. You see, in these precious words, the word will is named so many times. What does the hymn writer say? His shells and wills are firm as the everlasting hills. He will heal us. Those that feel the festering sores of sin within will need healing, won't they? Well, if you look in the case, it comes to me, so I'll name it, the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood. That dear woman knew what it was to be torn for 12 years with all that issue of blood she had, weakened each day right over 12 years. Comes lower and lower. What did the old preachers used to say? Are we low enough for Christ? And you look how low the Lord brought her. But you look how he strengthened her faith to press through the crowds to the Lord's dear feet to touch the hem of his garment. Why did she come to him? Because she believed he would heal her. And that healing, you know, was not just in body. Her trouble was not just the issue of blood. The trouble was in her soul because of sin. And you look how he was to heal her. That beautiful word, I've often thought, you know, how sweet that was, what he said to her. And may the Lord whisper it to some poor, needy sinner this morning. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then that precious word, go in peace. And the only way she could go in peace was for that healing within our soul from all sin. You say affliction is the fruit of sin. Before the fall in the Garden of Eden, there was no affliction, there was no trouble, because there was no sin. But oh, the festering sores of sin. It's a good prayer in the hymn writer's words, isn't it? Heal the festering sores of sin and make us young again. And that's what he did with that dear woman, you know. He hath torn and he will heal us. They believed him. And it may be in some particular way you need that today while the Lord's given it to me to bring here. He will heal us. And when he says he will heal you, poor soul, he will. He has all power to. We think of that beautiful word in Exodus 15, where the Lord spoke, didn't he, to the children of Israel, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth thee." And you think of those precious souls that came to the Lord Jesus, the blind men, those in sore affliction. No man could heal them, but he healed them. Oh, he did. A physician, I read, abides in this place. Oh, that healing virtue, it flows from the dear Redeemer. And it flows right into the souls of his dear people and in their bodies too. He will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. You know, sometimes the Lord sends a word that is a smittening word to us, isn't it? He cuts us right down. You know, when the Lord spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, In a moment, he was smitten by that word. Such was the power of it. Such was the application of it. And you know what it is to have a word that really smitten you. Maybe a correcting, chastening word. And here, you see, there they were, wandered, as we've already looked at. But he sent his word and they were smitten by it to return to the Lord. He hath smitten. He puts his hand out and smites the child of God when they do wrong. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And what a mercy it is that he does correct us. Where would we be? I often look back and think, as a lad, where I would have been without the correction. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He hath smitten. There was no doubt about it. She felt it. She knew it in her heart. But oh, she doesn't rest there, does she? He will bind us up. He binds up where he smites the child of God. He'll bind them up. As sure as he has smitten, as sure will he bind them up. That's a wonderful thing, you know, isn't it? And he alone can do it. And it may be in something you're in today, you feel just as though you're under the hand of the Lord. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And as he smites you, poor soul, you have to fall under that. and be submissive to his will and believe that he will bind you up. He binds up the brokenhearted, doesn't he? Oh, he does. But then he says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Now this is all the work of the Lord, you see. Now I've just scratched around the surface, but I shall have to leave it. But may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us. And you know, when he does, you'll be able to praise and bless his holy name. Oh, I couldn't put into words the thanksgiving there was in my heart when the Lord dropped it in. There was everything in it I needed. And you see, that is the wonderful thing. When the Lord speaks and he applies the word and he brings it right into what the poor sinner's in. Why does he bring it? Because they need it and they can't go on without it. And then what does he give? A heart to truly praise and bless his name for him tearing us, for him smitten in us, and for him healing us, and for him binding us up. And he has all, will have all the praise, you see, and he give the sinner that heart to praise him. Even think of the apostle, and then I must leave it, but you think of the apostle, the things that happened unto me, he says. Those things that seemed as man looked at them so much against, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Why, that Christ might be glorified. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by our friend Mr. Field. God willing, there'll be Thanksgiving services on Saturday when Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections taken for the Oakington Building Fund. Mr. Buss is also expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Hymn 393.
Thank you.
ye Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts, do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bones. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Be with us now in the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.